if you got your Bible, if you will, flip over to 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Now, I know it's a Wednesday night, and if y'all are like me, some Wednesday nights, man, I come in, and I am just beat to pieces, wore out, and I think, you know what, it'd be nice just to stay at home tonight. But you go anyway, and sometimes it just ends up being just a regular Wednesday night. But then sometimes you suffer through it, and man, the Lord just touches you and does something special for you. And so I understand how, you know, what it's like trying to make it during the week. And I'll be honest with you, there's something said for people that still do it. So many churches have given up on the idea of trying to meet together and worship and all that kind of stuff because it is hard and it is difficult. But I'll be honest with you, you know, being a Christian, there's difficult parts of it. And if you want to be a good Christian, and if you want to really thrive as a Christian, sometimes you got to deal with the difficult. And so, anyway, I don't know why I said all that, but I just kind of sympathize with everybody. You know, I know sometimes you get in here and you're thinking, man, it'd just be nice to get at home and lay on the couch or get in a bed. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord shows up and does something for us. Yeah. And so I do have a good bit of stuff that we could go through tonight. We may not get through all of it. I will try to be mindful of the time. And but like I said a minute ago, 1 Kings chapter number 3 is where we're going to get started at. And I don't know, about maybe 4 weeks ago or so, I told everybody in our class, I said, look, if there's a topic or something that's just kind of eating at you, write it down on a sheet of paper, make me a list of anything that you've got questions about in the Bible or something, and give them to me, and then we'll try to go do some class lessons and go over some of that stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I really didn't expect anybody to even really respond. I kind of put it out there in case somebody wanted to, but I didn't really expect to get a big response. But, man, I got several sheets loaded down with stuff on there. And so, anyway, I was glad to see that people actually cared enough to actually write down some things they've been thinking about. But so the past few weeks, we only got into one subject, and then the Sunday school program is starting up this week. And so it'll probably be about 8 weeks before we get into all the other things. But the one thing we've been talking about for the past couple weeks is discernment and decision making. And so I was thinking about this, and as long as I've been in this church, one of the probably most popular messages you'll hear from the pulpit around here is on discernment. Probably every preacher that's in this church has probably preached some type of message on discernment, but yet we still have trouble discerning things, and we still have issues with it. And so I don't guess that's something that you can probably master. It's just one of those kind of things. You work on it, and over time, you just get better and better, but you never really get to a pinnacle of having discernment. You just keep growing with it, kind of like spirituality. It just kind of keeps growing with you, and in all honesty, spirituality and discernment, they probably really tie together pretty tight-knit, depending on how spiritual you really are and how close you really are to God will kind of help determine your discernment and how good you can make decisions. And so right here in 1 Kings chapter number 3, you got Solomon here. And Solomon, he was handed a mighty big task. He was given the task of ruling over Israel at the time. And so David, his father, had built this great kingdom. And the Lord really blessed David to thrive. And so David had done all these things. And so, you know, the Lord didn't want David to build the tabernacle. So that was another responsibility that was passed on to Solomon. And so he had all these great responsibilities placed on him. In all honesty, he never really asked for those things. They were just kind of handed to him. And so whenever he took them, he did realize how heavy and how great of an opportunity, but at what kind of burden it could be also. And so he goes to the Lord about this. In verse number 9, I want you to look at what he asked from the Lord about this. Now, in verse number 9, it says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And, you know, I got to thinking about that. A lot of times with us, whenever there's something in life, and we'll just say like money, everybody in here at some point in time probably prays for lots of money, right? I mean, I'm just being honest. All of us would like to have lots of money. I mean, who wouldn't want a brand new truck all the time? Who wouldn't want a bass boat, and the nicest guns you can buy. I mean, I'm just talking about stuff I like. You know, I don't know what you might like, but all those things appeal to me. And so who wouldn't like to have that stuff all the time, you know, man, if you just had tons of money? But, you know, a lot of times what we don't use is any discernment about, well, if we did have tons of money, do you got enough sense to know how to spend it? And so you realize Solomon, he's handed this throne and this kingdom, and it was well supplied with funds. I mean, there was plenty of money coming into it. The power was there. His father had probably already built a fear among a lot of people through that kingdom. And so it already had some things there, but Solomon's looking at it, and he says, you know, I've been handed something great, and man, I need some discernment on what to do with it.
Amen.
And so you realize all of us have been handed some great things in life, and whether or not we have the discernment to know how to handle it and deal with it is a whole different thing.
Amen.
And I don't know about y'all, but, you know, the Lord has just privileged me and given me some good things in my life. You know, he's given me a good wife, a good daughter, you know, and he's always taking care of me, and he's given me all these things. And if I don't use the right kind of discernment, then I might squander all those things away.
Amen.
And so it's important that we use discernment and that we do make skilled decisions and not just haphazardly do things. And Eleanor Roosevelt, she made a statement one time, and she said, one's philosophies is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives, we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make ultimately are our responsibility.
Amen.
Now, people nowadays wouldn't say stuff like that.
Amen.
Nowadays, anything that happens, we find somebody else to blame. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. I mean, that's just the way it works. It is almost impossible to nail somebody down on a mistake anymore.
Amen.
And it's gotten so bad that, you know, the schools and society and everything has kind of just tried to take the blame away from everything and, you know, just trying to spread it around. I don't know if you've ever noticed in a lot of companies, whenever somebody messes up now, you know what they'll do? They'll come address everybody in the whole department, and they will not even deal with the person who messed up. Now, isn't that odd? I mean, I'll be honest with you, if I mess something up, you might want to come tell me because I might not get the general announcement. It might, you know, I might not even be paying attention. And so if you don't want me to do it again, you better tell me. You better not just make a broad statement. And so, but what I'm getting at is we're responsible for our actions. Even though things have changed and it's not that way that much anymore, that is still ultimately what it boils down to. God is going to judge us based on our actions. And we're responsible for what we do. It's not somebody else's fault. And, you know, it ain't going to be like when you go to the psychiatrist and they're trying to get you to blame your mama or your daddy or somebody like that.
Yeah.
Man, when you stand before God, the blame is going to fall back on ourselves. And so that's why it's so important that we have discernment and we make skilled decisions. So there's four things that I want to try to get through tonight. And here's the four things. The first thing is, what to base our decisions on. And the first thing is you can base your decisions from the Scripture. If you get deeply involved in the Scripture, it'll give you some determination on what kind of decision you should make. The second thing is society will help you see what kind of decisions you make should make, because, you know, you can watch people in society and watch them do things, and if it turns out good for them, then you think, all right, that's kind of something I can use. And then if it turns out really bad, then it's a good idea. You probably want to stay away from it. And so you can kind of view society and see what's going on, see how other people are doing things, to kind of learn things. If you're familiar with history, you can learn about people in history that, you know, made either just tragic mistakes. Like one example is like Rehoboam, Solomon's son. He was handed that great kingdom just like Solomon was. And then Rehoboam, he foolishly chose to believe the younger counselors over the older counselors, and he lost 10/12 of his kingdom. I mean, that's pretty drastic. He pretty much lost the whole thing. He was left with two tribes, and one of them was obligated to him because they were the Levites. I mean, where could they go anyway? And so here he lost it all because he used poor discernment in making his decision. And so we can view things through history and through other people far as making decisions. And then the third thing is the Spirit of the Lord. That's one of the key things that Christians probably don't even tap into anymore, is the Spirit of the Lord can help you make decisions. And I don't know, I get kind of weary of people polling everybody else for decisions in their life instead of just polling the Lord. You know, just ask God. Maybe just see what God thinks, man. Who cares what everybody else thinks? And so ask God. And then the fourth thing that I want to mention to you is sincerity, being sincere and honest with yourself about what kind of situation you're really in. A lot of times we lie to ourselves about our situations, and we might view it a little more like how we want to see it instead of what it really is sometimes. And so those are the things we're going to try to get through tonight, and we'll get as far as we can. So dealing with the Scriptures, basing our decisions on the Scriptures, John 5:39, if you want to flip to some of these, but I'm going to go through them kind of fast just so we can save some time tonight. But in John 5:39, it tells us, it says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me."
Amen.
Now here's the interesting thing is, we will put our trust in Jesus Christ to save us from hell. That is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life.
Amen.
And so we'll trust Jesus Christ to save us from hell. But yet we won't take the time to learn anything from the Scriptures to glean any knowledge.
Amen.
Right there it says that they testify of Him.
Amen, bro.
If you're going to commit to somebody and give them all the, you know, if you was going to take all your financials, let's say the Lord had blessed you and you had a lot of money, and you was going to take all your financials and entrust them to somebody, would you check the guy out to make sure he's not a criminal first?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would. I would want to make sure that, hey, this dude is not going to steal all my money.
Amen.
And you realize so many Christians, they put their trust in Jesus Christ, but they never get to know Him. They never check into who He really is.
Amen.
They never find out who He really is. And so they just kind of have a base knowledge of who He is, and they don't really know what they're getting.
Amen.
And so if you get involved in those Scriptures, it'll really help you be able to make decisions, because there's so much in the Scriptures that we can learn from.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself." Now, this is something I thought was kind of odd. It says, "approved unto God."
Yeah,
that's a pretty strong statement. It's not that big of a deal if you're approved of men, but man, being approved of God, that's a pretty big deal. And so make sure you're using the Scriptures and to make sure you're on page with what God's got in mind. Now, Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 5, it says, "Every word of God is pure, and He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." And so if you're using the Scriptures to help you base your decisions and you're trusting in the Lord, then you realize God's saying, "I will be a shield for you."
Amen.
That's a pretty big obligation on His part.
Amen.
So if you're trying to make your decisions based on Him and through the Scriptures, and you're doing all those things in the Lord saying, "Hey, I'm going to stand there as a shield and I'm going to help you."
Amen.
Now, I don't know about y'all, but I like that.
Amen.
Because I really don't like it when I make decisions that He's not involved in,
yeah,
and then I got to suffer the consequences,
amen,
all by myself.
Amen.
That's not any fun at all.
Amen.
And so I really like the fact that He's a shield whenever I put my trust in Him. Now, here's another one. Galatians 6:7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, when you get into the Scriptures and you start learning the Scriptures and you start learning these verses, and then you start like just reading through your Bible, I'll tell you something I put together, and it may be obvious to everybody else in here. I might be the only one that just caught this. But I was reading one day, and I was reading about Jacob, and Jacob went into his father's tent when his father's eyes were dim, and his father couldn't really see that good. All right? And he went in, and he told his father that he was the older son when he was the younger son. Y'all remember that? And so he does all these things to steal a blessing, right? Okay, well then one day, Jacob goes down to Laban's, and Laban ends up being his father-in-law. And so his father-in-law sets him up a tent, and then Jacob goes into the tent. It's dark, so he couldn't see. And then he's expecting the younger, and he gets the older.
Yep.
Now, do y'all see the irony in all that?
Yep.
Now, it may just seem like a big coincidence, but I don't really think so. Whatsoever the man sowed,
yeah,
that he reaped. He reaped pretty much the same thing.
Amen.
And so the Lord turned that thing around on him. And when you read through the Scriptures, you'll get to see stuff like that.
Amen.
And so I don't want to get into it because David, he's got so much in his life. But David, he took Bathsheba, which was somebody else's wife, and then had somebody killed. And then it's mighty odd that then one of his sons takes one of his daughters, lays with her, and then one of his other sons kills that son.
Amen.
And so the Bible is true when it says, "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And so when you get familiar with the Scriptures, it will help you make good decisions.
Amen.
And so it'll really help you. And I know that the Bible is a big deal around here, and it's not like a lot of other churches where they minor on the Bible and major on the fun. The Bible is a big deal around here. And so it's not something new for us to be talking about the scriptures and the book and the importance of those things in making our decisions. I'm not going to try to make myself out to be nothing great, but I have been saved for a long time now. And I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and it would be a shame if I didn't know none of the Bible by now. I mean, as long as I've been saved, I got saved when I was 9 years old. I'll be 32 in a couple of days. And so I've been around the book for a long time, and so I ought to know something about the book. So if I make a lot of foolish decisions, then that makes me look like a real idiot, because I've been around long enough, I ought to be able to make a few wise decisions every now and then. And so if you get solid in the scriptures. Now, on Monday nights, we have the Bible Institute up here, and starts at what, 7 o'clock? So at 7 o'clock every Monday night, there's somebody up here expounding on the scriptures. And what I mean by expounding on the scriptures, man, they are giving you a breakdown of what those scriptures mean and how to better understand them, because I don't know about y'all, but sometimes you get to reading through some of that stuff in the Bible, it's just hard to figure out. But you realize whenever you're having trouble with something, you can come up here and sit in some of these Bible classes. Look, if your schedule's so hectic you can't make them all, I guarantee you if you just make one every now and then, it'll make a difference. Amen. And so just get what you can. I got a motto, and you can like it or not, but my motto is do what you can when you can. And so, man, if you can't get every Bible class in, get every one in that you can get in. Amen. And so just do what you can and get what you can. And so try to take those scriptures in and get them into your life and apply them and get familiar with the Bible. You realize you don't have to make decisions when you get familiar enough with the Bible, because sometimes the verses make decisions for you.
Amen.
Sometimes you can be faced with something, and instead of you having to make a decision about what to do, you just remember a verse in the Bible, and it's telling you to either stay away from it or go to it.
Right.
It's that simple.
Yes,
give you a simple one, like drinking. Some people will try to make that complicated. Some people try to make it a gray area.
Yeah.
But you realize if you know the scriptures, it's not a gray area.
Amen.
The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Amen.
So you can either say, well, it's okay to drink and be not wise, or you can say, I'm going to try to be a wise guy, and I'm going to stay away from it.
Amen.
So you can make the choice.
Yeah.
And so when you get familiar with the scriptures, it eliminates a lot of the hard decisions, because they're already made for you. And so the Bible is to help us to govern our lives, to make the right decisions, so you don't have to figure things out so much if you just know the scriptures.
Amen.
So anyway, moving on to society. Point number two, things in society. We can look at people's lives and, you know, like our government. We can look at how our government's going, and based on what we see, the direction that it's going in, are we getting better or are we getting worse?
Amen.
It's not looking good, is it? And so we can look at those things and we can say, you know what, that's going in the right direction. I mean, the wrong direction, way in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And so we can see that that's going downhill. And so, like with Social Security, if they sent everybody in here a letter in the mail and you're under like 50 years old and says you can opt out of Social Security, what would you do? I'll tell you right now what I'd do. I'd send them a letter back, take me out of it. Because that is a bad decision. And so we can see things, how they're going, and realize, hey, this is not good. And so if you can view other things, like, you know, your relationship with your husband or wife or whatever, if you've got parents or whatever that you've been able to see how their relationship worked out, if it went good, then you might want to take some of those things from their life and apply them to your own.
Amen.
And then if it went bad, then you're going to know, all right, this I definitely need to stay away from, this I shouldn't do. And so, you know, if you're one of those kind of people that make crude statements about how much your wife weighs or how she looks and to other people or even to her, then you're a fool. You know what? That's taking you in the wrong direction. And so you ought to have enough sense to see when other people do those things. I've heard people do those things before, and I've thought the tension is so tight. Man, there's no way I'd do something like that to my wife. She might would shoot me with a shotgun anyway, but there's no way I'd do it to her anyway. And so you can see, based on decisions other people are making, the result of them, and think, you know what, I'm going to stay away from that.
Amen.
And so just use your head a little bit.
Amen.
Be honest with you, a lot of stuff is really just kind of boils down to just thinking about it, just actually thinking about what you're doing. And so we'll try to breeze on through this stuff. So number three, the Spirit, we can base our decisions from the Spirit of the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, if we really get close to the Lord, it's a little easier to hear what He's trying to say, and it's easier to understand what He's trying to do. And so in Hebrews 5:14, if you want to write this down, you can, but Hebrews 5:14, it says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so you realize whenever you move from the milk on to the strong, to the meat, to, you know, the meatier things, whenever you get to that point, it will help you make the right decisions. So that's why for a lot of baby Christians, so to speak, is it's hard for them to kind of figure out what's right and wrong sometimes, and you're not so sure about doctrine and stuff like that because you just don't really have any discernment yet. But yet when you get in the book and you get in the meat of God's Word and you start getting into the meatier things of the Lord, then it helps you be able to discern between bad and good. And so 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says, 1 through 3 here, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." It says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and ye are not carnal and walk as men." Are you not carnal and walk as men? And so it's important that we're getting closer to the Lord. I heard Larry Brown preach a message one time, and he said, "The hardest thing you'll ever do is stay close to God." The hardest thing you'll ever do. You realize because there's so many things trying to keep you from doing that one thing. And so the Spirit of the Lord will help you make the right decisions, but you cannot do it whenever you're carnal. Whenever we're carnal and full of the flesh, how are you going to make a spiritual decision when your spirit is so beat down on the inside of you? I mean, when all you've done is fed the flesh and fed the flesh and fed the flesh, how do you expect to be able to hear from the Spirit? Amen. Man, there's so much stuff in the way, there's no way you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord's trying to tell you. And so in John chapter number 15 and verse number 15, it says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends. For all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Now look, if your Christian life is on the servant basis, then if I was you, I would try to work it into the friendship basis. Because, and what I mean by that is if you're always having a hard time trying to figure out what the Lord is doing in your life and where He's trying to take your life, and it's like you can never get a grasp of what God's doing in your life, then maybe you want to get to know Him better to be able to understand those things better. You realize when two people are friends, they'll talk about anything. And they'll open up about anything. Yes. And if somebody is a friend with somebody, you know, me and Brother Charles, we're good friends. And if Brother Charles is doing something I don't understand, me and him's close enough, I can come up and be like, "Brother Charles, what exactly are you trying to do here?" Amen. You know, and then we can have a conversation about it. But when you view God, or when you view the Lord as, you know, this great God who's high above you, and He sits on an all-white throne in an all-white room, you know, surrounded by all-white, some kind of crazy idea like that, you know, like the cartoons try to portray, you realize you're viewing Him as somebody that's not close to you. Amen. And you're looking at Him in a whole different aspect, and you're so distant from Him, you won't dare even ask Him what He's trying to do in your life.
Amen.
And more than likely, the relationship is probably so much distance involved that you wouldn't be able to hear Him if He did. And so, be sure. Let's see here. Proverbs 8:17, it says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Galatians 5:16 says, "Then I say, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So now think about this. When we make that bad decisions, wouldn't you say that that would be fulfilling the flesh?
Amen.
Because if you make a bad decision, you can't exactly blame it on the Spirit.
Amen.
Because I don't think God's made a mistake lately. And I'm pretty sure His record is still pretty crisp.
Yeah.
And so if we're making bad decisions and we're constantly messing up, then we would have to just be honest with ourselves and say, hey, I'm walking in the flesh. I'm not walking in the Spirit. And so, and then the other interesting thing is in Galatians there, I'm not going to flip there right now and look at it, but I believe it's like verse number 18 and 19, and it deals with a laundry list of the lust of the flesh. It talks about fornication and adultery and lasciviousness and uncleanness, and it starts talking about just all these different things. And then like verse 20, I think 2 through 24, deals with the fruits of the Spirit. And so it starts talking about all the other stuff. And so if you're looking at those two things, and you're reading it, and you find yourself that you feel, you know, strife and seditions and all that kind of stuff, you start seeing you fit into that category more than you do verse 22 and through 24, then there's a good chance that you're walking in the flesh. And so if you can't hear the Lord, you know, if you're having a trouble with your connection to the Lord, then maybe you ought to just flip over to Galatians chapter number 5 and say, all right, now where am I here? Maybe I'm in the wrong category. Maybe I'm walking in the flesh when I think I'm walking in the Spirit. I would say that there's been a lot of good guys get a little sidetracked, a little off track, and they do things that they think God wanted them to do, but God wasn't involved in. And then they get upset with the Lord, and they get mad at God, but when really God wasn't involved in it to start with, it was something that their flesh more wanted than what the Spirit of the Lord was wanting, but yet it was what they really wanted, so they just ignore the Spirit and lead on, and it destroys them. And so that's why it's so important to stay close enough with the Lord to be able to feel His Spirit. There's things in my life that I would like to do, but at the same token, I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. Because I've been around this thing long enough to know that if you do what you want to do, you're at a pretty high risk level. But if you do what the Lord wants you to do, you'll be happy in it. You might not even think you would be happy in it, and you'll still be happy.
Amen.
And I don't know about y'all, but I like being happy. And so I think I'll just stick with that strategy. And so make sure you're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Make sure you got a close relationship with the Lord. Make sure you got a friendship relationship, not a servant-master relationship. And it'll help you understand what the Lord's trying to do in your life.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. Do you have any idea of what direction the Lord is trying to take your life in right now? Now, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to put nobody on the spot to answer that question. I'm just saying ask yourself, do you have any idea of what the Lord is trying to do in your life?
Yes,
do you have any idea if He's trying to take you somewhere?
Amen.
Or you at the place that He wants you to be at?
Amen.
All those are things that we can ask ourselves to kind of evaluate how close our relationship really is. And look, if you get discontented or just kind of upset or, you know, kind of mad with God, then maybe you ought to just evaluate and see, like, all right, do I know what the Lord's trying to do in my life? Am I really trying to figure out what He's trying to do in my life? Because I promise you, He's got a plan.
Amen.
Man, He has got a plan for everybody.
Yes.
It don't matter how old you are. I think it was Bob Tyson. He was like in his 30s whenever he got saved. And so, you know, you would think, well, he's in his 30s. He'll be a Christian and just serve the Lord, you know, and he'll just work out of the local church and just be a layman and just do whatever the Lord wants him to do. But you realize he gets saved in his 30s, decides, man, I'm going to Bible college. And then he goes to Bible college and then he decides, hey, I'm going to be a missionary. And then he goes onto the mission field and he spends like, I don't know, 30 years on the mission field and about saved the whole country.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Amen.
If everybody had time, I would suggest you go meet Miss Tyson and just talk to that lady. She's amazing. And the things they've done, and it was just because they were trying to figure out what God wanted. Now, I'm not trying to make everybody missionaries. I'm just saying that God's got a plan for everybody.
Amen.
He's got something for every one of us. And so let's move on to the next thing. Let's talk about sincerity. A lot of times when we view our situations and we view what's going on in our lives, we don't use very much sincerity. We kind of, you know, we look at the situation the way we want to see it, and we'll do it so much that you actually believe in your mind that that's really how the situation is, and can't nobody prove any different to you. And you'll get it in your head that this is exactly the way it is, but you realize that's not the way it works. And I'll give you an example in Exodus chapter number 32. You got the story about how Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And while he's up there on the mountain, the people, you know, they're wicked, and so they go to Aaron and they say, "Hey, Aaron, we want you to do something. Moses is gone. Who knows what's come of him? And you know what? We're just kind of through with Moses anyway. How about you just make us a god or something? We'll worship that and we'll praise it and all that." And so Aaron, he's in a tough spot, right? So he has to make a decision. So he did. So in Exodus 32, verse number 4, it tells us, he told them all to go get their gold and all that kind of stuff and bring it to him. In Exodus 32, 4, it says, "And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he made it a molten calf." Now, did you get that? It says that he used a graving tool to make this molten calf. So that means he didn't just throw it in the fire and it come out. He made this thing. But whenever Moses comes back, Aaron is having to give an account to the Lord and to Moses. Now let me ask you something. Is there any sense in lying to God? Why would you lie to God unless you believe it yourself?
Come on.
You ever thought about that?
Right.
Why lie to the Lord unless you have started believing this yourself?
Amen.
And so in Exodus 32, 24, Aaron is giving his response back to the Lord and back to Moses. And this is what he says. "And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off." And he did say that. "So they gave it me, then I cast it into the fire." Cast it, just throw it in the fire. He just gathers up his gold and throws it in the fire, and magically a golden calf come out of the fire. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've met some pretty good salesmen before, but I do not believe Aaron sold that to God. I don't think he bought it. You ever thought about that? Man, he just lied to God. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to Peter, but here, Aaron, he's lying to the Lord, man. And so you realize sometimes we get kind of flustered in our situation, and we lie to ourselves about what really is going on in our life and what our options really are. Sometimes we feel like we're trapped into some little spot when really we're just not looking in the right direction. And so you realize the devil will get you believing that you're in some little tight predicament, and the whole time God has got an open door for you, but you're so focused on the situation, you're not seeing what the Lord's doing.
Amen.
And I promise you, he'll do those things for you. The Lord won't leave us out to dry. He's never abandoned. He's never pulled a David with like Uriah. He has never sent any of his children off into a battle that he didn't stay with them. And so don't deceive yourself about your position. Don't lie to yourself about what's really going on. And don't lie to yourself about what your options really are. And so a lot of times we just get upset and mad in a situation and we don't think very clear. You know, I don't know if y'all have ever tried this before, but if you'll take somebody and you can give them little simple tasks, little easy things to do, and you can time them, see how long it takes them to do it. All right, then you can take, whether it's real loud music or just take something beating on it, making a repetitious noise, and then give that same person the same task again, and you realize it takes them way longer to accomplish it because they're all distracted. They can't think because of this noise that's going on. And you realize in our lives, a lot of times we're like that. We got all this stuff going on in our life, and it's so distracting to us. I mean, it might as well be a fire truck horn in our ear while we're trying to figure out what we should do. And you realize it clouds our thoughts so much. And so that's why it's so critical that we're just honest in our situation and really view it for what it is and don't get all distracted in the situation. And so it's kind of like them soldiers, whenever they're over there in battle and they're laying in a foxhole and they're firing those machine guns and everybody else around them's firing them, they're shooting cannons, and you got to figure out, all right, should I retreat? Should I stay? Should I run? Man, I don't know how you make a decision at all with all that going on. And you realize for us in our life, it's almost the same scenario sometimes. We're trying to make decisions, and you got all this stuff coming at you from every direction. And then you know what our instinct is to do? Just shut down. Just shut down. Don't make a decision. And so, but you realize by not making a decision, you've already made one. I tell them in my class, it's using the ostrich approach. Just go stick your head in the ground and hope it passes when you pull it back out. You know, it don't work like that, though. And so, right quick, Matthew chapter number 25 is the last thing I'll give you, and we'll be done. Matthew chapter number 25, we'll look at verse number 24 and 25. Now, there's a story in Matthew 25 here about these three different guys. They receive talents from the Lord, or from a master, so to speak. And so this master gives them talents. Everybody familiar with this? One of them gets five talents. One, I believe, got, what was it, three talents or two talents, and one of them gets one talent. And so everybody gets something in this situation, right? Yeah. So this master, he passes this stuff out, and he leaves town. And he says, I'm coming back. Y'all ever heard that story before? That was a guy named Jesus. He was here. He said, I'm leaving town, but I'm coming back. Yeah. Y'all ever heard that? Yeah. It's really happening. Yeah. And so it's the same kind of deal. And so, and you realize whenever he left, he gave everybody some talents. Amen. And it's up to us what we're doing with them.
Amen.
And so just like these three guys here, all of us get a decision. And now look, where we fit on the scale of whether or not, you know, we get five talents or two talents or one talent, you know what? That's really irrelevant. Because with God, it's about obedience.
Right. Amen.
And so no matter if you're a five-talent person, a two-talent person, or a one-talent person, the thing is God still gave you a talent.
Right.
He still entrusted something to you.
Amen.
In order for you to give back to Him.
Amen.
Because, like the story tells us, He would have, you know, took in the usury afterwards. And so whenever we do things as Christians and we're being fruitful as Christians, who's reaping the benefits of that? The Lord is, right? It's the same scenario. So right here in Matthew 25, verse number 24, it says, Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. And so here he brings back this one talent. Everybody else had done something with their talent and given it back to the Lord. But you realize this guy viewed his situation as a burden instead of an opportunity.
Amen.
Now, whatever situation you may be going through, maybe you should make the decision of, hey, this is an opportunity instead of a burden.
Yeah.
And so, discernment, being able to discern what the Lord's doing.
Amen.
You know, so often we look at a bad situation coming in our life and we immediately get upset and think, oh, this is terrible. But really, God could be trying to provide you with an opportunity.
Amen.
So be careful how you view things.
Amen.
I know my own personal self, years ago I had a situation at work and I really got mad and upset about the whole deal. And I was such a fool, I didn't realize the Lord was making room for an opportunity for me instead of a burden. I thought it was going to be an issue or something bad to deal with, but the Lord was actually opening up an opportunity for me and something, and I was so foolish that I got irritated about the whole situation because I wasn't viewing it for what it really was. Now, that's all easier said than done, isn't it? And so be careful, because if you end up like me, then it'll be over, and you missed your opportunity, and all it was a burden that never became an opportunity.
Amen.
And so don't live your life with burden after burden when God was trying to make it maybe an opportunity after opportunity.
Amen.
You ever thought about that? You know, when things come into your life that you don't like, God could be providing you with an opportunity to do something in your life, and then you see it as an affliction or as a burden, and then you miss the whole opportunity. Now, I'm not throwing rocks at anybody, but sometimes whenever we people get up and testify, certain people, every time they testify, it's always a burden.
Amen.
Never no opportunity, never no victory.
Yeah.
Never.
That's the truth, too.
And then some people get up, and man, it's like, man, where do they live at? Do they just drop out of heaven and come to church? I mean, you know, they're always happy, everything's always going good.
Amen.
Now, I ain't talking about this garbage about the glass being half full or half empty. I'm talking about being honest about what
Amen.
The situation really is in your life.
Amen.
And so sometimes what we view things, just because it's out of our comfort zone, we get upset with God over it and we're getting mad at God when God is just trying to do you a favor.
Amen.
And so, and if you hadn't never been through some of those situations and ever realized it like I did that once, then you may not even have a clue what I'm talking about. But if you can ever get through there where you see where the Lord was actually trying to do something and you missed it, and then you look back and you're like, man, you feel like such a fool.
Yeah.
because you missed what God had for you.
Amen.
And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to miss those opportunities.
Amen.
And so be careful what you declare as a burden or affliction in your life, because it could just be a simple opportunity that God is making for you. And so just think, do you have any discernment? Can you make decisions in life? And I really hope that you're not one of those kind of people that's just polling everybody else in the church every time something comes up in your life.
Amen.
Now, there's nothing wrong with going and getting advice about things. I mean, that would be foolish to be against, because it talks about in the Bible, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And so it's okay to go to somebody and, you know, get advice and counsel on things. But the issue is we need to just be seeking out the Lord. And if we really truly seek out the Lord and we have that friendship relationship instead of the master-servant relationship, you probably won't have to be polling everybody else as much.
Amen.
You can just make a decision based on what the book's giving you, what the Spirit of the Lord's giving you, and then you don't need everybody else to tell you what to do.
Right.
I don't know about y'all, but man, the Lord has really helped me out in life.
Amen.
And I'll be honest with you, He's helped me out a lot more than any individual could ever help me. And now, I'm not saying I had never had people do things for me. I've had people be real good to me in my life, but I've never had nobody help me like the Lord.
Amen.
And so, look, instead of just going to everybody else, just go to the Lord.
Amen.
Get familiar with the Scriptures.
Amen.
I know sometimes when you read the Bible, it seems so overwhelming. And then when some people get up and preach, man, and they preach like they know every single verse in the Bible, and you're like, I can never get to that point. Well, you realize you got to start somewhere.
Amen.
You got to just make up your mind and get started somewhere.
Amen.
and get into it.
Amen.
I truly believe that the discernment part will come the longer you walk close to the Lord, the discernment will come.
Amen.
But here's the flip side of it. When you start getting away from the Lord, I think the discernment starts going with the Spirit. Because I've met some people who used to walk really close with the Lord. And now some of the things they say, you're like, man, are you the same person I used to know?
Yeah, sure.
Have y'all ever noticed that? You're like, where in the world did that come from?
Amen.
And so that's why it's so important to stay on your toes. You can't just think, you know, like for myself, I've been in church since I was 9 years old. And so just because I come to church every week, that doesn't give me discernment.
Yeah.
You know, that don't make me spiritual.
Me
and Brother Greg, we was up at the jail Sunday preaching, and we were walking through there, and I don't know what you call it, the holding area or whatever, where they got the little glass rooms, booking, I guess, or whatever. So we're walking down through there, and I'm walking by one window, and some woman's waving at me, and I was like, and I looked at Greg, I said, is that who I think it is? And he said, yeah. And I was like, good choices didn't put her there. And you realize that was somebody that used to sit on a pew inside here. And so, discernment, man, we need it.
Amen. Right.
You're not above anything.
Amen.
You're not above anything.
Right.
So, with all that being said, how about we just stand up and come down here, grab your prayer sheet and pray. And then when you get through praying, just go ahead and make your way on out to the gym out there with Brother Shane and them. But as you go to sleep tonight, just think, you know, do I have any discernment? Do I have trouble making all my decisions? Or do you try to force somebody else to make all your decisions for you?